Hi, this is Bronson Murphy.
The Phantom in Love Never Dies, The Phantom Returns, which opens tonight. So you're here.
We're in Dallas.
And the weather makes you just want to move here immediately, doesn't it?
I'm leaving my bags here. Yeah. I'd rather this than be stuck in the snow like we were around Christmas time.
When did this production begin touring?
We started rehearsals in New York City August of last year, and we opened up September, October of 17. We're almost at our year mark of starting rehearsals.
I've heard of it for years. I know it's been in different parts of the world, and it took a while to get to North America, which means it's finally tuned and ready for USA, huh?
Yeah. You know, this show began its life in London and was completely reconceived and redirected for an Australian production, which a lot of our fans know of the DVD of the show. Nationwide release in movie theaters for like a one night only kind of thing. And then a lot of our fans have it on DVD, a gorgeous production directed by Simon Phillips. And that is the production that they brought to Germany, and they took it to Japan, and now it's in the U.S. for its first national tour.
Had you seen the production before you were in the production?
Yes. So I grew up a lifelong fan of The Phantom of the Opera. And I was working at an outdoor theater probably in 2012. And a friend of mine was like, hey, did you know that Phantom of the Opera has a sequel? And I was like, no, what are you talking about? And she's like, yeah, I've got this DVD. It's written by Andrew Lloyd Webber, and it's the Australian cast. They made a movie of it. So we sat down one night and watched it, and I fell in love with it. The score, the costumes, the scenery, the light, everything about it was just so glorious. On a television, I watched it, you know.
Yeah.
And then I kind of followed it through its course of coming to America. And as luck would have it, I spent 3 years in Phantom of the Opera on Broadway, and then I was asked to audition for this. So now it feels like every night I step into the movie that I watched, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. It's kind of incredible.
And you played 9 roles in Phantom on Broadway?
I did, yeah. I was a swing, so I would step in for anybody who was on vacation or sick or injured. And so when you do that, you have to be sort of versatile and learn all the parts that are needed. So, yeah, I worked my way through 8 ensemble tracks, and then I did I understudied the principal role of Rao in the original production.
I have always been astonished at the swing actors learning that many roles. I just don't know how you can keep all the roles straight, because you don't do them often enough to sort of get them down in a way, I would think.
It is very true. It is very true. I'd say it takes a certain kind of personality and mindset, and it takes somebody who takes really good notes, because I didn't ever do 8 different parts in a week, but you could, you know, and I would always go to what I called my show Bible, and I would read all the notes on that track and all the spacing, because it's not just what the audience sees. You have to make sure that backstage you go to the right dressing room or the right wig person or the right dresser, you know, and the backstage show is just as hard as the onstage show.
And you find out right before a performance, oh, by the way, so-and-so's hurt, so you're going to have to go on.
Or sometimes even in the middle of the show, somebody will get hurt and you'll have to start playing a different track than you were, or splitting a track, or, you know, live theater. It's why I don't make movies. This is too exciting.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Andrew Lloyd Webber, I read a quote that this show, Love Never Dies, isn't as much of a sequel, but a second story.
Yes.
With the same characters. What does he mean by that?
Well, it's absolutely true. I think Love Never Dies stands on its own. The only thing you need to know from the first show is the idea and of the Phantom and Christine and Raoul and Madame. You know, you need to know these characters. But if you've never heard a Phantom of the Opera before, you can come see Love Never Dies, and within the first 10 minutes, you'll be caught up. Because everything is brilliantly written to not necessarily quote the show so that lifelong fans would be bored, but just remind you that, you know, this disfigured man is still here writing music for this angel of music, that they've been separated. You know, we catch you up in the first few minutes, and then you're just on the roller coaster ride through the next 2 hours enjoying our new story. But yeah, I think he's absolutely right. It's a sequel in that we are 10 years after what you know from the original Phantom of the Opera, but it is a whole new story. It takes place in a whole new country. The circumstances are very different, yet eerily familiar. I think it's kind of brilliant, but I guess I'm a little partial.
Well, it's set in 1907, Coney Island. And I encourage anyone interested in seeing this show to go to the Love Never Dies website or on YouTube and just see these spectacular sets. They take your breath away even on the small screen.
Yes, and wait till you see them larger and larger than life, you know.
The peacock costume and all? Yes. Oh, my goodness. What is that?
Yeah, I mean, I get to stand on stage during that number, and I still look at it just like, what is this creation? It's just beautiful. And kind of the idea of that number, you know, peacocks are actually a symbol of bad luck in theater for some reason. But in this production, we've kind of made it the iconic moment of the show. You have the chandelier crash and the Phantom of the Opera. And now when you see the show and you see the peacock, you'll know exactly why this songbird, the Phantoms, has come to life in his show. So it's kind of a really cool, iconic moment, that peacock.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even know for sure that was an iconic moment. I just knew of all the photos I was looking at, that one was the one that knocked me over.
Yeah, it's a really celebrated, I think it's just a really smart design, and I think that's why it sticks out in people's mind, yeah.
And what feedback have you received from those who have seen it, both Phantom fanatics and those who are not so much?
Listen, first of all, talking about the Phantom fanatics, they're the most generous, loving audiences we could ask for. People universally love the score. The music is glorious. We travel with a beautiful orchestra, world-class singers putting this show on. So the score is undeniably gorgeous. You will get chill bumps dozens of times during the show when you hear the score married with that design that we just spoke of. And then people who will come to the show at the stage door afterwards and say, you know, I've never seen Phantom, but like we just said, I was able to follow along the whole time. And there's such universal themes in the show about love and loss and separation and anxiety because of that and jealousy. And I mean, it's completely relatable in a fantastical sense. You know, it's melodrama at its best. It's everything you want from the idea of a disfigured man in a mask loving a soprano. Like it's not based in realism. The emotions are real, but the world is fantastical. And I think that's why people can give themselves over to it every night.
And you'll be on stage both in Dallas and Fort Worth, which does not always happen.
Yeah, isn't that great that we have basically 3 weeks in the same neighborhood? So,
yes, and while you're here, make sure you listen to K-Love, 98.7, classic hits.
I sure will. Thank you. 98.7.
Have a great run. Look forward to seeing the show.
Have a good day. Stay cool. Bye.
Bye. Tickets for Love Never Dies, The Phantom Returns at DallasSummerMusicals.org or BassHall.com.